I found something kind of special earlier this week.
And now, Amy Berlin sings the best of Ann Feeney. Take them down.
Take them down. We demand it in the name of a planet. Take them down in the name of Mother Earth.
And Amy, I know you've heard that recently. Anne's two adult children are here with us, Amy Sue Berlin and Daniel Berlin. Thanks for calling in to be with us today. I know you've had one heck of a week.
Yeah, it's really special that you're putting this on for us, since, you know, we can't all get together right away and we can't get hugs from people and hearing all of these beautiful tributes. And it's been just really nice for us to sit here. It's like the closest thing we can have to a memorial right now. So it feels very special that you put this together and that we can sit here and drink our morning tea and coffee and listen to all these beautiful stories.
Well, it seems like just yesterday, it was more like milk and cereal and or pancakes. I can remember both of you calling us as little kids. Daniel, I know you're in Mexico City now, right?
That's right.
I mean, not now.
I'm in Squirrel Hill right now.
Yeah.
I live in Mexico City, yeah.
So it must have been something for you to get to Pittsburgh. I'm so glad you did. What kind of work are you doing now?
So I'm the deputy director of an organization that's called Asylum Access, and we help refugees in the first countries of asylum. So most refugees, the vast majority of refugees, never make it to countries like the U.S. or Europe or Australia or places like that. Almost all refugees are in countries that are next to the countries that they have fled from. So Mexico actually is receiving tens of thousands of refugees every year, who some of them want to come to the U.S., but others either want to or have to stay in Mexico. And my organization provides legal services mostly to help them get access to the rights that they're entitled to in Mexico.
Wow. Your mom must have been incredibly proud of the work you're doing. And your dad, too. What an incredible thing. And Amy Sue, I forget where you are when you're not in Pittsburgh now. I think you're in the U.S., right?
Yeah, I live in Austin, Texas, and I've been a massage therapist for over a decade now, but recently I decided to go back to school for social work, so I'm in a graduate program right now for social work, and I've currently been volunteering at a skilled nursing facility, specifically working with individuals experiencing homelessness and mental illness. So I've been keeping my hands pretty busy over the last year or so, and I'm looking forward to following in my mom's footsteps. I also play some music, but it's never been a profession for me, but it was more so I could tag along with my mom and travel in the summer and for free, making the meager wages at coffee shops playing songs. But luckily, mom and I got to share the stage quite a few times over the last 5 years. We would both tour to the Northwest. Her and I have both been going to the Oregon Country Fair for 20 years now, and it's a really special festival outside of Eugene, Oregon, and so we would both tour there every summer and play several shows on the West Coast.
Well, you put together, too, a great tribute album. I want to say in 2017, do I have that right, called War on the Workers, featuring some great artists doing covers of some of your mom's songs, and you're on it, and you sound great.
Thank you.
There, I think
that was really a joy to get to put that together for her and find a way to like help her raise some money when she had cancer, and also just let her know how much, I know she knew how much everybody celebrated her music and just her as a human. She really inspired so many people. I can't tell you how many people have emailed me and said, your mother was like a mother to me. Like, I probably had 50 people tell me that, how much she completely changed their lives and their careers and their paths in life.
Yeah, I was trying to describe, it's very hard to help people who don't know Anne, know Anne as much as you'd like them to. You know, Anne was one of the very few people that I could go to with a big problem, at least one that seemed big to me, something I needed to talk about, whether it be ethical or about making changes or things. And she was a great sounding board and a great listener. And, you know, there were a few times in my life I did that. And oddly enough, the other one was Fitz that I put in that category, D.C. Fitzgerald, who your mom played with and spent so much time with. Mm-hmm. What was it like? I was joking. Your mom told me about playing bulk mail when you were growing up, which I assume is a true story. I don't think Anne would extrapolate or extend the truth like that.
It's very true. I remember having paper cuts on my fingers and gross tastes on my tongue as I was like putting together all of her mailing lists. You know, she was, back then we didn't have email and we weren't able to just send out where she was playing to everyone. So we'd have to fold up all these papers and stick them in envelopes and lick them and put the label on.
Yeah, we didn't have email. We didn't even have self-adhesive stamps.
It sounds like that's a time of some really happy memories, though. You must have felt really... being able to support her like that had to be just great as a kid, like feeling that vital and important. Or maybe it was more like child labor. I don't know.
I thought mom was like a rock star. I mean, when I was a kid, well, I would go in and out. It would depend on the crowd. Like, we were going somewhere where everybody was like, Anthony's here. Then I just felt like we were superstars. But there was also times where, like, we'd be at a party with all of our friends hanging out, and then our friend's parents had some of mom's cassette tapes, and they would just start blasting the song, Why Can't I Have Nintendo? Everyone would just make fun of us. And those moments were a little more awkward. Or when she would show up at school and, you know, most people's parents are wearing like somewhat normal clothing, like jeans and a sweater or whatever. And mom would show up with her cowboy boots and some like real loose fitting, like MC Hammer tie-dyed pants, with a political shirt that said, you know, like she had shirts that were very explicit about, about, corporations and stuff like that, and capitalism. And anyway,
I think I know the shirt.
Yeah, she'd have a belly bag on and like her hair all wild, and you know, she'd walk up and I would always be super embarrassed to have to get pulled out of school with her. Everyone's looking at her like, who is that crazy looking lady? But for the most part, we were just, I really looked up to her so much as a kid. She was my best friend, my hero, my idol. I felt like a superstar in her presence.
Let me interject. We're talking about Anne Feeney. I have her kids here, Dan. And Dan, do you prefer Daniel or Dan?
I usually go by Dan.
Okay, it's been a while since we've talked Dan and Amy. What was it like? Did you guys go to the same high school?
Yep, we're both proud Woodland Hills High School graduates.
I didn't. Of course you are. I never thought about that. We may have had some of the same teachers, because I went to Churchill, and some of those guys were still there. When I graduated in 79, you guys are probably in the late 90s, I'm guessing.
98 and 99?
Yeah, I forgot that you went there being Swissvale kid. So do you have memories of your mom coming into school like that or any other things growing up that you might want to share?
Sure, yeah. I mean, mom, they would often have parent days or whatever, and I vividly remember several times mom coming in with her guitar and playing songs for my class. Which was really neat. I mean, you know, lots of people's parents have interesting jobs, but it's not always as interesting for a fourth grader to hear about, you know, somebody going to the office as to have live music. So that would happen at least, you know, every couple of years.
She would also pull us out of school to go to protests and stuff, and she'd like come in and say we had dentist appointments, and then the next day a teacher would say, "Yeah, we saw you on the news yesterday holding up the sign at a protest." Like, I don't think you were at the dentist. And she also took both my brother and I to the Kerrville Folk Festival every year, starting in the late '80s. We would drive down from Pittsburgh and drive all the way to Kerrville, Texas, which is about 45 minutes west of San Antonio, for an 18-day camp-out music festival, which is ultimately why I live in Austin, because I have so many friends I've known since I was a little kid from going there. But every year she would write a letter to the school and tell them that she was taking us on an educational trip to go see the Alamo, which I didn't see until I moved to Austin and went down there one time with a friend. But
it's funny.
So she was real good at coming up with excuses to give us the education that she found to be more important for us than what we were learning at Woodland Hills.
Luckily, it was at the end of the year. Or we'd have a new teacher when we came back. We wouldn't have to write a report on the Alamo or anything.
And she, Kerrville is probably the leading songwriters festival, and I know your mom had a song that placed, right, that won for Kerrville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was Barbara Wolfowitz and
I Married a Hero.
Yeah, it was those two.
Yeah, I was trying to remember. I always loved I Married a Hero. And it looks like a few folks are calling who may want to say hello or share some memories. I just can't imagine how you're feeling now. I know I still pick up the phone to call my mom, and she's been gone for 10 years. There's things I want to tell her, and I forget that I can't. I started to tell her in my own way, and it's only been a few days. But I just want to be sure you know how much we care about you and are thinking about you. It's great to share these memories, but I know it's been such a roller coaster. So thank you for being with us. There's somebody.
Thank you.
Somebody wants to say hello. Would you like to say hello to someone who loves your mom?
Sure.
How could you say no to that? Let me see. Hang on 1 second. I don't want to disconnect you. I've become very good at doing this. Your mom, we both shared the joy of doing things live in real time and not worrying too much. So let's see. Hi, you're on with Amy and Dan. Who's this?
This is Jean.
Hi, Jean. Nice to hear from you. And yeah. Go ahead. Please feel free to say whatever you'd like.
Sure. First off, I want both Amy and Dan to know how proud their mom would be of how they handled all of this. It was very, very difficult for them, and it was just amazing to watch them make every decision absolutely correctly the way their mom would want. But I thought it would be interesting to hear from Amy about what it was like with your mom performing for a million people at the March for Women's Lives.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's probably one of the my favorite moments of being with my mom ever. She allowed me to bring a friend of mine with me from Portland, Oregon, Llewellyn Gannon, who has been calling me just like freaking out about my mom, telling me how much she, my mom changed her life. But yeah, getting to be there, you know, we were backstage hanging out with some of the most powerful women in the world, you know, Gloria Steinem, Carole King, Hillary Clinton was back there. There was just, you know, we're in the Whoopi Goldberg. There was just like all these women, and we were all just hanging out backstage together and looking out into the mall and seeing over a million people out there, everyone wearing pink. And, you know, I mean, my mom has just taught me so much about feminism and women's rights and how to speak up for myself and how to empower those that need help and help, you know, just being on that stage. I remember my mom was shocked that Llewellyn and I were not really nervous. We were just so full of excitement, and it was just so powerful to see everybody standing up there together. I've never felt such a strong force of nature with so many people there just ready to speak their minds. And yeah, and then my mom was shaking in her boots. That's like, I think that's probably the only time I've seen my mom nervous, other than when we were in some kind of a black tie situation. She didn't really enjoy those moments, but yeah, she really put on a great show. And Peter Yarrow actually we also sang with him separately. She did her own set, and then we also got to stand on stage with Peter Yarrow and sing "Have You Been to Jail for Justice?" And yeah, I'll never forget that moment. I'm so grateful that she brought us along for that.
Gina, how do you know Anne?
Oh, about 1,000 different ways. We've been. Dan and Amy's dad last night said I was a co-conspirator with her. you know, it was a wonderful friendship and a wonderful opportunity to be with her from the time the kids were very little through good times and bad times. So I have wonderful memories, most of which I can't repeat on radio, some of the stuff we did together. But I'm just so in love with the kids that they know I'm here for them whenever they need anything.
And you sure have been, Jean. I mean, Dean has been one of the biggest rocks for us throughout all of this. She's always been the strong mind to keep us focused and on point. And, you know, she knew what my mom wanted. She always was the one that knew what mom wanted and how to really help us through all of this. So we're very grateful for your support, Jean.
That's really important, Jean, to be able to be there.
I love you.
Thank you.
Thanks. It was an honor. It was an honor to be with Anne all those times.
Well, thank you for calling us. Is there anything else you wanted to say?
No, just I love the kids and I love Anne, and, you know, I know she's going to live in my heart forever.
Thanks.
We love you too, Jean.
We love you so much.
Somebody named Libby, let's see, she's in Adrian, Michigan. Does that ring a bell?
Mom has so many bazillions of friends, but I'm sure I'm not positive.
Well, that's okay. I don't want to put you on the spot. She says hello. And I have somebody else here by the name of Eileen. I just need to be sure I know what I'm doing, which lately has not always been. Oh, I did it. I'm going to do it correctly. There we go. Hi, Eileen.
Oh, hi there. I'm an old friend of Anne's from activism and from lawyering days. I met your mom, Amy and Dan, in court, actually, when we were young lawyers together. And I don't know if you know, but I became good friends with both your parents, and who we cherish dearly, and I used to babysit you, actually, both of you, when your parents would go out. But we, as activists, we cherished having Anne be part of every single demonstration and every single protest and every single fundraising event for the causes that you guys still embrace. And your mom was just, we were so treasured to have your mother be part of our lives in Pittsburgh. And she was such a gift. And one of the unforgettable gifts that she gave my partner Kip and I were was when we both, when we had our first child, and your mom wrote a beautiful song about how wonderful it was for our daughter, our infant daughter, to have two moms like Kip and me. And we will never forget that. And also, as Jean said, we're so proud that she, her legacy is in the two of you now, and as well as in our memories. And thank you for sharing your memories with her, with us today.
Eileen,
thank you so much, Eileen.
Thank you. Thank you for calling and sharing those memories. So, you know, Anne was the person that brought Pittsburgh Action Against Rape to life early in her career as a lawyer, after seeing a similar organization in Philly. And you must have known Anne during that period, I'm guessing. Is that true? Oh, sure.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh,
yeah.
Did you know?
Yes.
Yeah. What a, you know, we think about her musical accomplishments, but she was fighting for justice as an attorney for a long time beforehand, really devoting her life to always fighting for the underdog and the person who needed her advocacy. Thank you.
Yeah, that's so true. So yeah. True. And yeah, in the court cases too, that you're right. She was always a fighter.
Thanks. And our sympathy to you too. I'm sure you're missing her terribly. Thanks, Eileen. Yeah.
Thank you.
Libby is, shame on me, I just didn't recognize, I don't know that many Libbys. It's Libby Glover from Mustard's Retreat that wrote.
Yes.
That's who the, I just had trouble placing the name at first, and I thank Ricky for jogging my memory. Here's an email that says, been a long time, Anne and Jan Boyd stayed with me during the 2017 Women's March in D.C. We had a great time, but what I really remember were the rides on Lyft. Anne chatted up every driver, wanted to know where they were from, what they did, and believed. We ended up late at night standing in the middle of my street with Anne and a driver trying to outdo each other, telling stories and dirty jokes. I laughed so hard my stomach hurt. My sincere condolences to Amy and Dan. Take care. That's from Kelly Brown in Falls Church, who wanted to share that memory of your Bob. I could see her with the drivers wanting to know every bit about them. And then maybe if they were being paid appropriately, and could she help them in any way?
Yeah. Now we, you know, I spent a lot of time traveling around lots of different places with my mom. She came to visit us in Zimbabwe and Ecuador and Guatemala, and she was always so interested in anybody that we would talk to, you know, finding out their story, finding out, like, their political views and how, you know, how the conditions around them are affecting them. And she was really just a connector everywhere we went.
Yeah, she was one of the most genuinely curious people I think I've ever met. She just loved people and to listen. It's interesting because your mom, you could say she was not fond of fools, yet she was still interested in talking to anybody, right? No matter what their point of view was. Our lines are flooded with people who want to talk with you. Are you okay to take a few more calls?
Yeah, sure. Okay. I'd love to hear everybody.
We're moving so quickly, I don't have a chance to learn who's calling, so we'll learn together. Who's this?
Hi, Larry. This is Cece and Ken from Florida.
Hello.
Oh, how nice to hear from you guys. Go ahead.
It's nice to. Been friends with Ann for many years. Don't see her as much since we moved to Florida 20-plus years ago, but still, every time she comes through, we would see her. I want to have to thank Ann for introducing me to Stetson Kennedy, who lived down here not far from us and has since passed on, but I'm involved with the Stetson Kennedy Foundation on occasions down here, too. And I want to thank Dan and Amy for babysitting for our son when he was really young and really active, and we wanted to join Ann when she was coordinating one of the, I guess it was People's Music Network events up in Pittsburgh. So,
it was Ann who really got us involved with doing house concerts. We had told her before we moved down, I said, well, we're going to be living in Jacksonville, so, you know, if you ever come down, you know, please stop by. The door's always open. And sure enough, it was shortly after we moved down that she called and said, I'm coming down to tour Florida. And said, are you going to stop in? She said, yeah. And she said, how would you like to do a house concert? And I said, well, sure, we'll do that. And later on, I had to mention to Cece, well, okay, what's a house concert? I mean, it's self-explanatory, but, you know, what's the protocol? How do you really do it? What do you need to pull it off? How do you promote it and so forth? So we had to figure that out. And she came down and played it, and it was one of the best times we had ever had.
Yeah, and we did a number of them afterwards, thanks to her.
Yeah, a couple months later, some friends that she met at Kerrville, Kelly and Donna from Still on the Hill, they called up and said, hey, Ann told us to give you a call. We're coming through town, and you want to do another house concert? Well, we did that, and we started doing them for the next 10 years or so. But
Yeah, Mom loved house concerts. Those were always her favorite shows. Well, front lines at a strike were probably her favorite places to play, but she loved house concerts. They were just so personal and a way for her to really connect with everyone in the audience. And honestly, it was like the best way to make money when you're touring, because most venues, you know, take a cut and all this stuff. And to get to be able to be supported that way is one of the best ways it can happen for traveling musicians. So thank you so much for helping her out and continuing it on with other friends. I love Still on the Hill. They're good buddies out in Arkansas.
Well, you're both here, Ken and Cece. I've probably told Cece this before, but, you know, you were one of my mentors as a very young, you know, when I was 13, 14, 15, Cece taught me a lot about radio and how things worked, and I'll never forget that. It really made a difference because I had no interest in speaking or doing anything. I wanted to do behind the scenes. I wanted to solder, gosh darn it. And Cece really helped me get out of my shell more and was just somebody who I enjoyed meeting. And also Ken and their son. What is your son up to now?
He's here in Jacksonville. He's got his own place not far from here. He's doing well. And on the side, we perform as the Connors Project.
Oh, excellent. Well, you know the...
Yeah, we'll play a number of Florida festivals and things like that generally.
Well, you know what you do is you call somebody and you say, how do you like to do a house concert? And then you appear at their house, and before you know it... Thank you so much for...
We really did learn a lot from Ann. You know, at one point... I think it was the first song that Cece ever wrote, and she gave me an elbow in the middle of the night and said, okay, this song is running through my head. You need to wake up and figure out the chords to this.
Because I had the melody and everything else, but I didn't know the instruments like Ken did. I didn't know, you know, what chords I was singing.
So we worked that out, and it turned out to be a good song. We played it for Ann at one point, and she scolded me because it had an unusual chord progression. and I didn't have it memorized. So I had to read that off a piece of paper, and she said, she wrote the song, you need to learn those chords.
And I'll bet you did.
Yeah, he did right away.
Thanks so much to both of you for calling. It's good to talk to you, and thank you.
And thanks for doing this, and thanks for this tribute, and I appreciate that.
We're thanks, Amy and Dan, for being there as well.
And
thanks for calling in.
Thanks. There's somebody now who wants to speak with you, and I'm really grateful for. Anne would love to watch me pressing all of these buttons. Here is Evan, who toured with your mom for a long time. Evan, hello. Evan Greer.
Hey. Hey, everyone. It's so nice that you all are doing this.
Hey, Evan. It's good to hear your voice. I'm glad you could call in.
Me
yeah,
too.
Thanks so much for texting me. I'll just quickly say, you know, Anne was a dear friend and mentor of mine for since she found me at a People's Music Network concert when I was, I believe, 19, and took me out on tour. She basically convinced me to drop out of college to become a full-time musician and punk, which was one of the better decisions I ever made. And just taught me so much, not just about music and the music business and touring, but, you know, really about how to treat people and about the true meaning of solidarity. You know, I've been kind of just thinking about so many little snippets and anecdotes and the things that always stick out to me are like the times that she would make us drive 4, 5, 6 hours out of our way to bring some hot coffee to some workers on a picket line. Or sing some songs. I specifically remember one of our Midwest tours. There were a group of boilermakers on strike in Meridosha, Illinois. And we visited them on our way out and we visited them on our way back. You know, and she passed the hat for them on the entire tour. And I'm sure that she lost money on that tour in general, but she was still throwing her own money into the hat. For those workers who were on strike, because that was who she was. You know, I feel like there's a lot of folks out there that went around singing about the labor movement or singing about the anti-war movement or singing about politics. But Anne was always part of the movement. She was an organizer, first and foremost. And, you know, the music was a way, a tool in a way that she fought for what she believed in. Although, you know, what I've also been careful to say as folks have been asking me about her recently is you might hear all that and think that she was like, you know, a stern, serious person. and, you know, Amy and anyone else that knows her could quickly put that idea to rest. I mean, she was just hilarious and so full of life and she loved life. She loved good food and good people and good music and being around people. She loved touring. She liked to drive fast. She liked nice cars when we would get a rental car. She liked a good comfy bed. She knew every leftist in the U.S. that had a hot tub and would make sure that we stayed with them when we had the chance. You know, and just she loved life so much, which I, you know, and I think that's part of why she, you know, fought so hard to have so much extra time with all of us. You know, even when she was diagnosed with cancer and all of that. And so it's, yeah, I could ramble on many, many anecdotes. Mm. But, yeah, we did, you know, I quickly did a quick look back at our website, and I believe that we played more than 100 or 150 shows together.
Wow.
And, you know, did maybe 10 roughly month-long tours, as well as a bunch of shorter ones. Again, starting when I was 19 and was not adding anything to the bill. You know, these were her audiences And she just brought me along because she liked my songs and wanted to show me the road and give me a chance. And then, you know, but then later I would book shows and she could play for a crowd of 17-year-old punk kids with spiky hair and, you know, whip them up into a mosh pit with her acoustic guitar. You know, she could speak to people of all generations and she loved all kinds of music. She tolerated me blasting punk and hardcore and hip hop for her in the car.
Well, one of her biggest gifts is connecting people. I think partly because she always met people where they are. But as you pointed out, she could be serious. She could be humorous. She really any emotion. And you don't often find that in people who are cause-driven or passionate about issues. But Anne was just a wonderful person to be around. I'm glad you mentioned her sense of humor because I'm always insistent that we remember that part of Anne because people might get the wrong impression. Anne made me laugh harder than I've ever laughed before in different situations. Evan, what was it like when she would bring money to workers? They must have been shocked, some of them, that here's this woman coming out off the beaten track to bring us coffee or to bring us money that she collected. Do you remember what those reactions were like?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost funny. I almost feel like they weren't shocked, because that's who she was, and everyone in the movement knew that's who she was. And so it was almost more like, Anne Feeney's coming. You know, she's going to have coffee, and she's going to have some money for the strike fund, and she's going to, you know. She was also just such a force on a picket line. You know, I mean, she was great at singing and playing songs that would keep people's spirits up, but also I distinctly remember her using music and just her loud voice to just like harass the scabs or like yell at the, you know, kind of Pinkerton thug type private security that, you know, companies would hire to intimidate striking workers. I have a video of her just screaming her head off at scabs at a picket line and for sugar workers in North Dakota. And, you know, she just had such a talent for it, you know, just hurling these hilarious insults and, you know, in ways that, you know, were, but then also I remember her like, speaking directly to them and saying, look, you know, you guys are over there collecting a paycheck, like you're working people too. And like, what are you doing? Like stabbing your fellow workers in the back. And, you know, I think that was just amazing about her. Like she believed so much in the power of working people. And I think so few people, you know, and she had her many critiques of the labor movement. And, you know, it's not like she saw it through rose colored glasses. She loved it for all its flaws, but she taught me so much about just thinking about it as this force that has been so uplifting for so many people and how it intersected with the racial justice movement or the feminist movement or the environmental movement. But like at her core, she believed in the beauty and power and humanity of working people in a way that I think very few, you know, musicians or even kind of philosophy, you know, political activists who are stuck in their theory do. People loved her and she could speak again to just any kind of crowd. I mean, I remember playing with her, you know, certainly for a bunch of, you know, 50-year-old dudes at a glue factory or at a, you know, at an auto workers strike, but also for, you know, nurses in Chicago who were on strike, who, you know, were predominantly Latino, who mostly spoke Spanish. And, you know, Anne had at least 5 songs that she could sing perfectly fluently in Spanish. And, you know, and she just was able to connect with such a wide range of people because she, like, saw them in their full humanity in a way that, that was just so generous and that everyone should try to emulate.
Evan, I'm so glad that you called. Evan Greer, G-R-E-E-R. How can folks learn more about your music?
Oh, sure. I mean, you can look for me on the internet, but, you know, evangreer.org or whatever. But I'd encourage folks to go read Chris Chandler, who also toured with Anne for even longer than I did. You know, they toured, you know, I guess we both toured with her for about a decade, but they toured like 300 days a year or more for a decade. And you know, he and I put together just, we tried to kind of just chronicle just the basic nuts and bolts of Anne's career in one place. And we've got that up as a post. So if folks find me on social media or whatever, it's up there. And so, you know, but there's so much more to say, you know, all these little stories and anecdotes and her, the hilarious jokes and stories that she would tell, you know, all deserve to be recorded. So, so much more of this is going to need to happen over the coming days and weeks.
Absolutely. Well, in years too. And you have a torch, to carry and continue to pass. And I'm sure you already have been, but, I'm glad you shared the story about Anne finding you at age 19 and befriending you and becoming such great collaborators.
I remember almost feeling this like jealousy over Evan when Evan came into our lives, because Evan, you know, has always just totally been herself. And, you know, the first time I met Evan was in Austin, but another time was in Pittsburgh. And I remember you showed up wearing a skirt and all this stuff. And like, Mom just loved you in this way that I always wanted her to see me. I was like, Mom, she just really wanted me to be so political. I would write a love song and she'd say, no one wants to hear that crap. That sounds like it's like you ripped that right out of your journal. Like, if you're going to be up on a platform, you need to be singing something that's going to change people's lives. And like, I just remember her meeting Evan, and it was just, you were really this, you were like a child to her in a way that she loved you so, so much. And not only that, when I see you, Evan, I see my mom. Like, I meet a lot of musicians through my mom and a lot of people out there doing the same thing. But you like, emulate her spirit. You have such a similar presence to my mom, the way that you're the same thing. You're hilarious, and you have such a great message, and you're so good at uniting people and empowering people and accepting everyone and wanting to hear everyone's stories. And I know she taught you so much, but so much of that was just in your essence, and you were born to do the exact same thing my mom's doing. And getting to continue to know you and watch you out there doing your thing, I just deeply adore, admire, and love you so much. And I'm really glad that you and Mom found each other, and I know that you'll be part of our lives forever. And I can't wait to hear more and more stories and see more videos of your times together and hear it all. And we love you, and we look forward to spending a lot more time together in the future.
I love you so much too, Amy. And I, you know, I will say that every time I spoke to her on the phone, she talked about you, and I like your love song, and I know that she did too. You know, and you know, she had that tough edge, right? You know, she always was kind of pushing everybody to, you know, she was an editor in a way too. She did that with my songs too, but that means so much. And yeah, I did learn a lot from her, and it is, she did help make me into who I am. And it's funny that you brought that up, because that was the last anecdote I wanted to share, which is just, you know, I came out as trans kind of late in my life. I was in my mid-20s, and we'd already been touring together for years. And, you know, it, like anyone else, it took her a minute to like start getting pronouns right and stuff like that. But she was always so gracious about it. And I distinctly remember getting up, you know, wearing like a frilly pink miniskirt with hairy legs at a United Auto Workers Hall in Detroit. And, you know, and just not an environment that was like particularly queer friendly or anything. And Anne was ready to fight anybody that was going to say anything. And by the end of the, you know, after three songs, the, you know, all these auto workers were fists in the air, screaming along to us with solidarity forever and could care less. And, you know, she was so ahead of her time in so many ways. You know, she had her finger on the pulse of the movement in a way that just made her, like, you know, always one step ahead, sort of, or just, you know, she never kind of lagged behind in the way that, you know, probably even I will, or we all do, generationally or whatever. She was such a fierce fighter for all oppressed people of any kind, and just all people. You know, she just loved people and humanity and believed in kind of the fundamental good in people. So, Amy, thanks so much for asking me to call in, and thanks for saying all that. And love you all so much too. And I'm so glad that that we came into each other's lives. And you know, your mom introduced so many people to each other, but you've always been special to me as well. And hope to see you soon.
Thanks for calling.
That's Evan Greer. Thank you, Evan, for being with us today. And gosh, we have another minute or two. If you'd like to say hello, we have Amy Berlin and Dan Berlin with us and two children. You should know, as you're listening, I did not arrange to have Amy and Dan join us today. They phoned about an hour ago or so and said they would like to do this. And it is a frustrating thing because, as you pointed out before, you really want to be able to hug and celebrate and share music and congregate. And it's just not something we can do right now. So I hope this has been a little taste of that and that we can do something even bigger and no, not bigger, just better. Better first, bigger second later on, because there's so many other people who just want to be part of loving your mom and letting you know how much she meant to and still means to everybody.
Yeah, we've got some stuff in the works. There's people working on doing like some kind of a live stream memorial, which we'll definitely get out there and let everybody know about it. We'll post it in as many places as possible. And then also when the time is right and we can all gather together in a big gathering, we're also working on that too. I'm sure there will be a beautiful celebration of life where we'll have a lot of her favorite performers come and sing songs. And we've got her whole storage unit is basically just full of t-shirts. We probably have over 1,000 t-shirts that she was insistent she wanted to get out there to all of her friends. And we've got a box that's like almost as big as a refrigerator that's full of nothing but buttons. And I was like, how could you have that many buttons in one box? So yeah, we definitely want to see everybody and be together and talk about all these beautiful artifacts she's picked up in her travels.
Oh. Mom would be furious if there wasn't at least some, you know, celebration of with lots of music and you know, tears, but more laughter.
She'd want to call it a party. I keep using the word party, and Dan says, you can't say party, it's not a party. And I was like, Mom would want it to be a party. Mom doesn't want people crying. She wants everyone singing solidarity forever and, you know, being empowered.
Well, there's that Irish coming through where the feeling of awake from your mom's lineage. And those trips she led to Ireland, I understand, were amazing when she'd take people there. Did you guys ever go with her on one of those?
I didn't get to go with her on one of those trips, but I did before she started doing them. About, I think it was like the summer before she started doing them, we did about a month-long trip around Ireland together, so I got to meet, you know, I think I got to do a pretty much a very similar tour, except for without the bus full of people. But yeah, it was such a cool experience to get to travel around Ireland with her and hear all the stories and yeah, they loved her over there.
Oh, I'm sure they did. Well, I can't believe the hour here has gone by so quickly. We just have a minute or two left. Is there anything else you'd like to say, either of you, Dan or Amy?
I mean, I would just like to really thank you, Larry, for doing this. I remember when D.C. Fitzgerald passed, that was, you know, something that was really hard for me and a lot of people in Pittsburgh. And I remember the show that you did for him, and it was so meaningful, and having this outpouring of, you know, Pittsburgh and well beyond to just talk about my mom. It means a lot to me and Amy, and I'm sure it means a lot to everybody who loved her.
Well, thank you. It's our pleasure, our honor, let's say. It's the most natural thing in the world to do this. Amy, anything else you wanted to pass along?
No, it's kind of the same. I mean, you know, like I said, from a little kid, getting to call into Saturday Morning Light Brigade was like a huge highlight of my week. It made me feel famous every time I would call because I knew how much you guys love mom. So as soon as I said, this is Ann Feeney's daughter, you guys like bumped me to the front of the call list. Like, always, I just have always loved your show. And, you know, I know you know that I always listen to the song, My Little Potato.
Oh, yes.
Both my mom and my dad would sing that to me all the time. And I know, you know, I got like a group of like 25 musicians that are all amazing musicians to get together and record that song. I got everyone to come over. I'm like, it'll be easy. You're all great musicians. Let's just record this song real quick and make a copy of it. And I'll sing the song. And, you know, they all came in and they were like, this is not a simple song.
It's a tough song.
It was like really complex and, but they did it, and we got to record that. So anyway, your show's just been a big part of our lives. That was something we did together as a family every Saturday morning. And my dad is definitely still a very avid listener.
Oh, yes, he and I.
He links every day or every Saturday.
He and I enjoy corresponding. Thank you so much for sharing your time with us today. And keep in touch, please. Ricky and I love you both, as does a whole world of people out here listening to you now.